Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey there, everyone in Radio Land. This is Mama Mac, along with my co-host and wonderful, wonderful expert, Dr. Angel Falzoni. And we are Go Yard, and it is fun to do this show, Dr. Angel.
Oh, it is a blast.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
Oh, we look forward to it every week, don't we?
We do.
Got so many good ideas. This is show number 3 on the topic we're on right now, and it is entitled
Positive Parenting.
And I wonder why that's so important.
Oh, well, it's huge important. It has huge impacts on lots of lives.
Right. Most of us have had parents, right?
You know, and a lot of times parenting gets overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
As a parent, we want to have those great moments, and we want to enjoy our kids, and sometimes we just get stuck in this rut, and we don't know where to go or how to fix all this and enjoy our kids again.
Absolutely. And so we've had 2 shows, the last 2, on positive parenting, and some really good ideas and some things that I think people can put into practice in their lives, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, when we wrote this, you know, really wanted to make it more broad spectrum, because I didn't want to get people stuck. A lot of times when we hear parenting, we get stuck in a certain methodology.
Right.
You know, there's lots of them that have come and gone through generations of raising children. And really, it really just boils down to some key principles.
Absolutely. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Part 3 of positive parenting. You came to the right place to get some help here. And if you missed show 1 or 2 of this series, we want you to go and listen to them. And they are still on the TanTalk1340.com website. Go to podcasts and just scroll down there to Go Yard, and you'll find the shows at the end of this month and every month. Our webmaster takes our shows, puts them on our website, which is goyard2014.org. So we've got all these shows since September when we began this show, Doctor. There's tons of good things for people to use, go back and listen to. I had one of my family members say they just recommended to someone they knew to go back and listen to our series on boundaries, which was done last October or November, right?
Awesome, yeah.
And so, you know, they're there. They're there for everybody to use. So that's cool. So know that you can go to our website, goyard2014.org, or you can listen during each current month on TanTalk1340.com on the podcast area of the website, and you can get these shows. Welcome to all of our Starcom Media Network affiliates scattered now in different places around the globe. Many different cities across the United States. Welcome wherever you are tonight. We are in Clearwater, Florida. And we're glad we are, right?
Yes, we are. It's been a warm one this week, though.
Woo, it's been hot. I've had family members here. In fact, my oldest grandson, Chase, is right here in the studio with us tonight. And we've been at the beach for a few days and with 4 grandsons and having a lot of fun and just great times. But it has been extremely hot.
I will say that. It really has. And I really wish it would dry up enough so I can mow the yard.
I know. We've had a whole lot of rain also.
Yep.
Okay. So we would welcome you right now to join our discussion tonight. And some topics that we cover, people call in, they text in, sometimes they don't. And Doctor, I think a lot of times when we have a series like this one, where we are more instructing and giving ideas, it's not so many times that we get comments from our audience. What do you think about that?
They come and they go, and you know, that's okay, and that's okay.
And we have a question and answer show every few weeks, and so you can send your questions, and those need to go to our text number, which always works, 24/7, 365. And that is 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. If you want to call in during the show, however, Engineer Chris is on duty right there at the control board, and he will answer the phone and patch you through to us. And that number is 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000. So we welcome you to text or call in with comments or questions, and that is fine. Dr. Angel, we are ready in our discussion to talk about some positive parenting strategies.
Which I'm really excited about this show, because this
is... Yes, tell me.
These are the tools.
the tools.
We've had a lot of setting some foundation of parenting, and we have had tools throughout it, but this is like the tools.
The tools. All right. And it's how to help ourselves with this parenting issue. No matter how old the children are, no matter if they're young adults, we need to learn how to parent effectively, correct?
True. Once we're a parent, we never stop parenting.
We never stop parenting.
It just changes.
That's right. Yes. All right. So some positive parenting strategies. A lot of times we have kids or grandkids that are having issues with self-esteem. Would you agree with that?
Self-esteem is a huge thing for kids as they're developing. It changes as they grow and develop. It developing and changing constantly leaves a lot of holes in our self-esteem naturally through the occurrence of those development.
Right.
And so as parents, one of the things we want to do is help our kids to foster and build a positive self-esteem.
You want to define self-esteem for our audience? Well, most people probably understand it, but go ahead.
It's just the belief in one's self-concept. You know, it's kind of their confidence.
Okay.
You know, and I will see really around the middle school ages, it takes a huge dip. In high school ages, it can take another huge dip. And even when they're transitioning into adulthood with all these uncertainties of where am I going to go or what am I going to do for my life or what school am I going to go or am I going to the military or am I going to, what am I going to do? That's a lot.
It's a lot to digest, to take in.
It is a lot. And so helping to build and foster our child's self-esteem is a really important parenting goal.
And I think, Doctor, as important as it is, I think a lot of parents do not know how to do that. Instead, there's a lot of belittling that happens in homes, don't you think? I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially when you start hitting the adolescent years because, you know, it can be tough.
Right.
You know, and the adolescents are expressing their own minds and their own opinions, and they may be differing from their parents. And so it's difficult sometimes to help build that self-esteem when these people they're turning into are different than the little ones that you once had and could, you know, they loved and admired everything you did. Now they may not.
So help our audience understand, how do we know what are some warning signs of adolescents or young adults having some self-esteem problems? What would you be looking for, Doctor?
Negative self-talk. You know, I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm thin. I'm this. I shouldn't try out for that team because I probably won't make it. You know.
Just a lot of negative self-talk.
A lot of negative and having no confidence.
Right.
Or little confidence.
Okay. And so those are warning signs. And so as a parent or a grandparent, in that child or that young adult's life, there's some positive things we can do to foster a better self-concept, right?
Absolutely. And one of the things that kind of focuses around just general respect. And, you know, yes, we are the parent, but, you know, watching our voice tone and our body language, watching, you know, every expression we make are absorbed by our kids, no matter how old they are.
Voice tone. Boy, I think that's extremely important in raising a family, don't you?
Absolutely. And the tone of voice you use could be support or condescending in the same words,
right?
Depending on how you express that.
So even a parent may say the right things, but have a tone or body language that communicates disapproval or something to that effect.
Absolutely, and change the entire message that the parent thought they were sending.
Right.
And so that definitely can impact a developing child's self-esteem or even a transitioning adult child's self-esteem because parents' opinions and approval is a really important
thing. Yeah, and kids may say, I don't care what my dad thinks or I don't care what my mom thinks, but they really do, don't they, Doctor?
They do. They do down in the heart of it.
Right.
And so even when we're disagreeing with our children, and that's okay, we're going to disagree.
Yeah.
We can sit and have these conversations and watch our voice tone, watch, you know, our body language, and learn as they're growing in those adolescence and early adult years to talk with them instead of at them.
With them instead of at them. I think that's huge, and that's critical right now for a lot of parents to learn to do that. So give them an idea of how to make that happen, Doctor.
Well, you know, we sit down, you know, in our house, we'll sit at the couch, we'll sit at the table, and we'll talk about an issue. Maybe it's something that they're doing that I don't approve of or something's going on. And we'll constructively talk about it.
Right.
Without judgment, without criticism. Let's just bring this issue to the table. And the rule is, if we're going to talk to each other with respect, We're going to use, you know, our language. We're going to keep our tones down, and we're going to stay on this level with respect. And if we can't, then we need to stop the conversation and come back and revisit it when we've calmed down.
Okay. So respect is huge when it comes to dealing with our children, even though a lot of times parents want the respect, but they don't turn that around, doctor, a lot of times, and give the children the respect either.
Well, and a lot of times parents don't feel like they need to give that. You know, I'm the parent. I should just be respected. Yes, you are the parent, but you're also you're modeling what respect looks like.
Okay, right.
So to get respect, you need to model what you're wanting back.
So how do you respect a child's opinion or whatever without, I mean, maybe it's just totally way off base, the whatever the child wants to do or their opinion on something. How do you do that and correct with respect? How do you do that?
Well, and it's just bringing it out to the table, and it's okay, you know, letting them speak what they need to say and without interrupting them.
Okay.
And letting them talk openly without criticizing and interrupting, and let them share, and then talk about, well, I disagree with this, but this is what's going on. And, you know, there's times you're going to have to take the upper hand, and it's just going to be, no, that's not happening.
Right.
But give them the respect of hearing their opinion or stating their case.
Okay, that's important.
Let them speak.
Let them be heard. Right. That's what I hear you saying. Let them be heard.
They need to be heard. That's important. Part of developing self-esteem.
Okay.
And not everybody's going to agree with us.
Right. Right.
And that's okay, too.
Right.
And it's okay to say, you know what, I heard everything you say, and I appreciate that, but I'm disagreeing with that. And right now, while I'm the mom and I support you, we're going to do it this way. But when you're grown, that's your choice.
Exactly. A few years back, 2 or 3 years back, one of my grandsons decided he wanted to change school systems. And my son said, why? And he said, he started to say, and he said, wait a minute, why don't you take a few days, think this over, write out all the reasons why, and then present it to me. Which he ended up letting him do that. But initially he wasn't going to, but because of the arguments that were presented in a non-volatile situation on paper, then read to his dad, it changed the decision.
Absolutely. You know, they may have information that may change the way you're feeling about a certain situation.
Right.
And that's why it's important to let them be heard, first of all.
Right.
And second of all, they are people and they need to be respected.
Exactly.
And part of respecting somebody is hearing their heart and hearing what they have to say about it.
So it's a good idea to give them voice, allow their voice to be heard.
Absolutely. And there's been many times something like that's happened in our house where, you know, I'll say, no, you can't go to this event, XYZ, I don't think it's safe. And then they present their case and there was information I didn't know was there. And I've like, you know what? Okay. In light of what you've told me, I'm going to change my decision.
Right.
Because as parents, we don't always have all the information when we're making our choices. And
exactly.
We're thinking all the bad, 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 and not realizing that there are other dynamics at play.
Yes. Okay. So often as parents, we end up criticizing instead of really bringing positive correction, don't we?
True. And there's, you know, it's the same goal at the end of the day. But it's the way you're doing it, and the method can hammer that child down and make them feel unloved and unwanted and not good enough and not smart enough, or make them feel respected and celebrated and like they count.
Some people belittle, don't they?
They do.
And some of our audience may be saying, what do you mean by belittling? Putting kids down, right?
Oh, this happens a lot in all kinds of situations. Sometimes they will compare one child to another one in their house.
Okay.
You know, oh, well, that's not what your brother would do, or that's not what your sister would do, or even maybe comparing them unfavorably to, like, their mom or their dad.
Okay.
Oh, you're acting just like your dad would act. That's why we're not together.
Ooh,
those types of comments.
Yeah, those aren't good.
No.
No.
Each person is an individual,
and
we can't do that.
Belittling rarely works, doesn't it? In correction, I mean, it's... When you come from an attitude of being so negative and putting that child down, it's going to cause a lot of resistance, I would think, from the child.
Well, not just resistance, but you're hurting that person's self-esteem. You're hurting their self-confidence. You're making them feel less than as a person. So you may get the behavior you're looking for, but in the heart of it, you're crushing that child.
Right. Very important.
And so that's what we have to think about. It's not just about getting desired behaviors.
Right.
It's about growing people into confident humans.
And you said something there. Wounding children is never okay. No. I mean, now we're not talking about spanking or anything like that. We are talking about heart wounds.
True.
Right? Mm-hmm. And don't you think a lot of those happen in situations like what we're talking about right now tonight, Dr. Angel?
Oh, absolutely. And they're the things that will imprint on their heart.
Right.
For years and years to come. When I'm sitting in therapy, I can be sitting with adults who are in their 30s or their 40s who will tell me as vividly as it was yesterday something their mom or dad said to them when they're
yes.
7 or 8
yes.
years old.
Yes, absolutely. They don't forget those things.
They don't.
And they can remember the feelings of where they
it
were and what happened,
back.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we as parents and grandparents need to really be careful how we correct. That's what I'm hearing you say tonight, Dr. Angel.
Absolutely. Our methods that we're using, we really need to be guarded.
Okay.
Because it can cause damage. And so we want, you know, to help boost their self-esteem, we want to praise them. Praise
right.
whatever accomplishment you can find. Sometimes they're acting a fool. And
acting
you know,
a fool.
That's what we call it in our house when they're just acting crazy. And you know what? If they've done something without being told, oh, thanks so much for taking out the garbage. Something small, whatever it is.
Right.
Or thank you for being able to tell me that without, you know, staying calm with me. Anything, a praise, an accomplishment that's building some self-esteem. It's building that relationship with you and your child. And that's important because we want to assist our kids in feeling proud and gaining independence and making them feel like they're capable.
Right.
And that they're cared for.
Because if we belittle and we're constantly full of negativity, they will grow up thinking they can never accomplish anything in this life, or they're not good to anyone or whatever.
Or they're less than.
They're less than. And we don't want that
no.
at all.
So it's that whole thing. We use it with the little kids. It's catching them being good.
Oh, that's great. Whoa, wait a minute. Where's my bell? Are you ready to say that again, doctor?
It's catch them being good.
Catch them being good. Why is that so important?
Because that's what we're wanting, first of all. You know, I talk about what we feed grows, what we starve dies. I know it's a law, a rule of life.
Right.
But that's true with parenthood, too. And so if we're wanting to feed and grow positive behaviors, we need to acknowledge those.
Yes.
Because here's what happens in parenting. A lot of times, kids hear from their parents when they're not doing what's right. That's
right.
when they get their parents' attention. So they're wanting and craving our attention. So what are they going to do? They learn that, well, when I act wrong, that's when I get it. So that's how
And that may not
it.
Even be a conscious thought
no.
that I'm going to act up because I'll get attention. It's not like that. It's just that they're conditioned, right?
Absolutely.
They receive the attention more when they're misbehaving than when they are behaving. So we've really got to change as parents and grandparents our motive of communicating with our kids and catch them being good. There we go.
There we go. And it is. And it sometimes you have to look really deep.
Right.
But you'll start, as you do it, you'll start finding more and more things that you can catch them being good with.
And then you just give them positive reinforcement, correct?
Absolutely.
That was great, John. I'm so glad you did it that way today or whatever. Or that was a, you know.
Absolutely.
Positive great test result. Yeah.
Grows positive behaviors. And
yeah.
so we don't want to train them to act negatively to get our attention.
Yeah.
We want them to learn to make positive choices.
Wow. What about the kids that are really just in trouble most of the time? Are really maybe smart mouth kids, or they've just got an attitude, they got a chip on their shoulder, they, you know, by smart mouth, I mean they talk back, they yell and scream at parents. I mean, this is a reality in a lot of homes, Dr. Angel. You know it and I know it. It's not just great across the board in
no.
our homes and across the United States.
Well, no. And it happens. And it happens all too often. And, you know, it's learning to set that spirit, those parameters in your home of we're going to talk to each other with respect. It goes
right.
for me. It goes for the kids. And if we can't have that conversation, we're not having it.
Right.
So until we can discuss this, and I tell them now they're almost adults and like adult terms and adult, then we're not discussing this right now. And it's stopping it and cutting it off before we let it to continue happening.
So you would cut off a discussion that gets out of control and everybody's screaming and yelling. Of course, you would not be doing the screaming and yelling because I know you. But if the kids were doing that, you would stop or rearrange the dynamics or postpone the talk or do something, right?
Absolutely. There's been many times where I've had somebody escalate. They're in the moment. Their emotions are high. They're screaming. They're yelling. And I'm like, this is not discussing this respectfully, so we're not discussing it right now.
Right.
So when you get a hold of yourself, come get me.
Exactly.
We'll discuss it then.
Woo, we got more to talk about here right after the break. You're listening to Go Yard.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and bright. And I pity any girl who isn't me tonight.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
That engineer Chris. Hey, parents out there, you are amazing, and kids, you really are too. And our goal in this series is just to help you get along better and have some changes maybe made in your homes and in your lives that will just cause you all to realize more how amazing you really are.
That's
you know,
it. That's what it's all
it's
about.
All about it. I'm here with my co-host, as usual, Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD and licensed mental health counselor. And you work with a lot of troubled kids and families, don't you, Dr. Angel?
I do. And I work with a lot of families who really struggle in this.
Yes. And so we're coming from a place of experience here. And hopefully some of the suggestions that we come up with during these next few minutes will be a help to others. And if you'd like to call in and comment during this show, you may do that at 727-441-3000. 727-441-3000. Or you can text directly to my phone at any time, 24/7, 365. And that is 727-888-4171. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about consequences to behavior, doctor, because I think in a lot of homes, there don't seem to be any consequences to anything. It's just every man for himself. Everybody just kind of does whatever they feel like doing. And, you
know, they're always changing.
Say again?
Or they're always changing.
Yeah, always changing their mind on what it is. You know, I've known people, I've known a lot of parents like this. The one minute they say, okay, here's the punishment for this offense. But tomorrow that punishment has changed.
Absolutely. Or that offense is no longer an offense. And so one of the things we need to do is positive parenting is to set limits and be consistent with consequences.
Okay.
Consistency is the big word
right.
there.
Right, consistency.
And set those limits.
Yep. And consequences, you want to define that? I mean, let our audience know what we mean by that.
Well, consequence can be positive or negative, but really it's the outcome of a behavior. So it's kind of that cause and effect.
And it's okay to do that. If you do this, there's going to be an effect from your action, right?
Absolutely. And so whatever, I mean, that's life. I mean, if I don't if I don't pay, you know, my mortgage, I'm not going to be living in my house. If I'm,
exactly.
You know, my power will get cut off if I don't pay those bills. And, you know, so life works that way. So we're just teaching our kids how life really works when they leave our home. Our
right.
behaviors always have some kind of consequence. You know, if I take my job seriously, work hard, go to work early, do what I need to do, stay focused, I'm going to be up for promotions. That's
right.
the positive consequence of those behaviors.
Right.
And so life works that way. And so just running our houses that way helps. Because
it does.
That's training them for life.
And then these kids have an idea of what to expect. It's when they don't know what to expect, Doctor, I think that a lot of anxiety and panic and worry and fear sets into kids when they're not sure what reaction they're going to get from a certain set of circumstances.
True. And I think a lot of parents come back to this like old-fashioned, like fear-based parenting.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get the behaviors they
that
want.
That just doesn't work.
Based on fear. The problem with that is once they leave our home, society doesn't work that way.
Right.
Fear isn't going to keep them making the right choice anymore.
Right.
And
that's a good
part
point.
From having anxious children, we're going to have children who aren't ready to take this real world by handle in a positive way. And so
right.
whatever the consequences are, you know, establishing, we talked about establishing, you know, some house rules. We talked about having some chores, you know, keeping safety and security in the picture here.
Yes.
Because that's the core we're getting to. And having a clear system. When we give a consequence, it's not as a punitive thing. It's, you know, here I'm. Think, you know, I really appreciate that behavior. You know, yes, you can go to the movies, or that would be a positive consequence. Or
right.
I'm really sorry you made that choice. So yeah, no, you're not going out this weekend.
Right.
Either way, I didn't have to raise my voice. I wasn't upset. It's not personal.
It's just a matter of fact. Or okay, but what if those guidelines, those boundaries, if you will, have not been set prior?
You can't do this without that. You have to have house boundaries and guidelines.
Because if not, then the kids think, well, I'll get by with this. I can just go to dad because he'll say, go to your mom, and back and forth it'll go, and I'll get my way eventually.
Well, then we have a free-for-all, and it doesn't work.
Right.
And so if boundaries don't have to be this long, stringent, you know, drill sergeant type thing, and I don't want that at all, actually. That would be the opposite of what we want. We want to create a home that's a safe and secure environment for everybody.
Right.
We want respect for everybody in the home. Everyone deserves to be respected and
absolutely.
To give respect. And so everyone should be contributing to the house in
yeah.
some way.
Right.
You know, I remember my kids were 4 years old. They could at least sort laundry by color for me.
Right.
You know, and that was their way of helping. And they've just grown into that where they don't know anything different.
Your sons all have chores, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was funny because my oldest was a senior last year. And my second oldest, who will be a senior this year, is like, Mom, you never gave Anthony a curfew. And I'm like, you know what? I never had to. You know why? Because my rule was common respect. You need to text me and let me know what's going on, or call me and I need to know about when to expect you, what's going on. As long as you do that, it will work with it. He never had a curfew. He never broke that violation of common respect in the
wow,
house.
Wow, that's great. And he's a great kid. He really is. So having a clear consequence, in other words, when kids know what to expect from their behavior, they can make wiser choices, right?
It teaches them how to make choices.
Right.
And that's what the goal of this whole consequence system is to help our kids learn to choose acceptable positive behaviors and learn self-control.
Right.
And consequences should not be punitive. We're wanting them to learn how to make choices in life.
Right.
So when you didn't do your English project and it's due tomorrow, the consequence is you're either going to be up all night working it
right.
or you're going to get the low grade. But that either way is your consequence for your procrastination.
Exactly.
And so, and as parents, when we step in and save them, we've just taught them.
We mentioned this last week, Doctor, and
this
is a bell ringer. You can't be doing your kids' homework.
No.
And you want to amplify on that and why you can't be? I mean, because so many parents feel like they're helping their kids bail them out of a mess, help them get their grades. What damage does it do when you're doing all this for your kids?
You're taking away the lesson of cause and effect.
Okay.
And so what you're doing is disabling your children. Because, you know, getting a low grade on that English project and the scope of life is a relatively small consequence.
Right. Right.
In the matter of life. However, if they don't learn it in these little life lessons, they're not going to get it. And the bigger we get, the bigger the life lessons get. So they may be the kids who end up, you know, getting arrested or having other issues waiting to be bailed out.
Right.
So we have to let them learn these consequences when the consequence isn't super life
serious.
Yes.
Right.
You know, yeah. Getting an F on a project doesn't compare to a lot of other types of consequences that adults walk into.
So would you say that for parents to take over and do the kids' homework is really doing a lot of damage? Would you actually say something like that, Doctor?
Well, you're taking away their ability to learn cause and effect. Yeah, you're okay. Disabling your kids.
Right.
And there's a difference from, I have an English project, Mom, can you help me? And we're working on it together.
Sure,
to,
that's
it's the
different.
Last night and save me.
And the kid goes to bed, okay, I'll take care of it. And you put the kid to bed and you stay up all night and write the paper or whatever it might be.
I've even seen parents posted, well, I got an A minus on my kid's paper. And I'm like, how disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But we're not letting them learn cause and effect. And that's the overall lesson they need to learn.
Okay, excellent point. Excellent point. So now, a lot of parents think that just by going and being the bread earner or whatever it might be, that that's the time that they need to spend with their kids. I mean, that they don't really need to carve out time, but it's so important to carve out special time, isn't it? I mean, and special is in quotes here. So,
absolutely. Our kids need our undivided attention.
Right.
They don't need a lot of it, but they need good undivided attention. It's the quality of the time we give them. And so we do need to make time for our kids. They need our relationship. That's one of the basic needs that they need, is to feel loved and accepted. And one of the ways we show it is by our time.
Right.
Especially,
and kids, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Especially in this society,
yes,
when time is the biggest commodity we have.
Exactly. Right.
It
and
really
why
is.
Do you say that? Why is time the biggest commodity we have?
Because nobody seems to have enough of it right now.
Right.
We're working and we're cleaning and we're doing this and we're doing that. And we don't have that time.
Right.
And so it's easier to just to go to the Walmart and buy the newest, you know, Xbox game. And here you
to
go,
entertain,
son.
Entertain
and
the kid.
And their parents thinking, well, what do you mean? I show my kids I love them all the time. They go to the best school or they have this or they have that. No, no. Those are great, but they
buying
need you.
Your kids is not the answer to the problems in your home.
Not at all. It's time.
It's time.
It's bonding and family time. It's making time. I have date nights with my sons where it's just me and one kid.
You're right.
And, you know, I walk every night. I love to go walk to the beach for sunset. And I usually always have a kid on my side. And that's when we can sit and talk about what's going on
exactly.
in their world. Or, you know, it's just me and that kid.
Right. So important.
And it may be a 20-minute walk, relatively a very small chunk of time in the scope of a day.
Oh, but so important.
But if I don't do that walk, I'll have somebody saying, well, Mom, aren't you going? Can I go with you?
Right.
You know, they look forward to it.
It's so important to have that quality time conversation. Now, kids, a lot of times, teenagers in particular, you know, they'd rather have their head buried in their cell phone. My kids were here this week and four grandsons. And at one point, I guess it was yesterday, my son announced this is blackout day on the phones. You know, now the 4-year-old and the 7-year-old, they weren't on their cell phones, but the teenagers were, you know, and he just said no. And of course, that wasn't a happy thought at first, but it's okay to do something like that. And we had, in fact, one of my grandsons said yesterday was the best day we had had on vacation. We've had a week together and that yesterday was so much fun. Well, a lot of it really, Doctor, was because nobody's head was buried in a phone.
Absolutely. It's giving quality time. And when we set those parameters on a house, that nobody has their phone. I don't. Just because I'm the parent doesn't mean I'm above the rule.
Right.
You know, when we talked about this on many episodes where our dinner table, there isn't electronics at the table. That's our 30 minutes a day as a family.
Say that one more time because I want to ring my bell, Doctor, because that's such an important point. Say it one more time.
We are not bringing electronics to the dinner table.
Why not?
Because that allows us to have quality time with each other. We can sit and talk and communicate. And when everyone's buried in a phone, it's not quality. Everyone's somewhere else.
They're somewhere else watching the latest joke or Instagram or whatever
Absolutely.
It might be.
Absolutely. And that quality time is precious. And I started something when the kids were really little. We called it family time, family night.
Right.
And we would set aside 2 or 3 hours together once a week. And we would do, each week someone got to pick the activity. So if it's board games or going for dinosaur hunts when they were little or
right.
going to the beach, whatever it was, we did it together as a family.
Oh, that's great.
You know, we didn't let intrusions come in
right.
for that little chunk of time. That, to me, set the foundation for bonding with my kids.
Right.
That, you know, even in the little things.
It's because it's just fun having those memories. This past week, I cannot tell you how grateful I am that my son, who is our announcer on the show, you hear his voice, Ryan, and his wife, Mary, and the four boys were here for a whole week. And the bonding that we did, just being silly, having two hotel rooms adjoining, just being silly, eating donuts, or all the things that we did were just fun memories that we will never forget because we set aside this week out of the year, once a year, to spend that those kind of days together.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I find in therapy with working with a lot of patients is the two things that adults remember the most about their childhood will be the criticizing and the bonding.
Whoa.
Those are the
okay,
two things
well,
that
my bell
them.
Is going crazy tonight. So I want you to say that one more time, and then we're going to explain it. Go ahead, doctor.
The two things that adults take from their childhood when they're looking back is the criticizing and the bonding.
You beat me, Chris. Engineer Chris has a bell in there. He's one step ahead of me tonight. But it's true. The criticizing, the bonding, because in counseling, you and I both, and I've counseled a lot of people through the years, that people love to, not love, they have to talk about the critical parent or the critical grandparent.
Or the negatives, right.
That. Or the negatives. It's like it has to come out, you mm-hmm. know, in counseling. It's just there. It's on the surface. It's ready to boil over, you know, and they just want to let somebody know what it was like, you know.
Absolutely.
So look at the impact that criticism had.
You know, and then when you're creating the bonding, when you do make mistakes as parents, and we all do, I make many of them myself, you know, it's easier to restore that relationship and seek forgiveness when
right.
we have that bonded relationship where they know this is not mom's norm, something's really going on, mom's acting a fool today.
Right.
And we can bring it back together much greater.
Right. Absolutely. So, and when there is a disruption in the peace of the home, the stability of the home, it's time to talk about that, right?
Absolutely.
You keep an open door policy, don't you, as far as, son, if you're upset, I want to hear why or whatever, correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No,
but
yes, there's absolutely an open door policy. But right. there's also some boundary policies. I'm a divorced person, and my kids have time with their dad. And when they have an issue with dad, I don't get involved in that issue unless
exactly.
it's life and safety at stake. Otherwise, you need to go work it out with the parent
absolutely.
Who was in charge.
I was that way, too, and I agree. That needs to stay with that parent and not get in the middle of those conflicts
no.
when there's a divorce. And, you know, so many of American families have had a divorce. So this is an important point to bring up and how to handle those. And don't be belittling the ex-spouse,
no.
right?
Absolutely not. One of the biggest things I try to impart to my kids is you respect your father. He will make mistakes. He will do things you don't like. But guess what? He's your dad. And you
right.
need to respect him. Just like I'm your mom and you need to respect me. And I'm going to respect you. Now, I've learned that bonding relationship with my kids. And theirs is still not quite where it needs to be. But I definitely try very hard to implant that respect and that you're father.
Right.
And so I don't let their venom come into my house and I stop it.
Because bottom line, kids are great manipulators,
oh,
just
yes.
like adults are, you know, right? And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter how young you are, you can be a great manipulator.
Absolutely. So we want to make time for our kids. We want it quality. So look for connecting opportunities.
Okay.
You know, anything that you can just get those electronics away and have 10 or 15 minutes with your kids is an amazing
board games. You
yes.
mentioned that.
Board games, and, yes.
And
we do crazy stuff. We'll get on the Xbox together, and we'll do the dancing games and see who can get the highest score doing the dancing. Or we'll bowl on
yeah.
the Xbox Kinect. But it's a family bonding activity.
Sure.
And we're communicating, we're laughing, and we're making great memories.
Right.
Or taking the kids outside, and we'll go shoot hoops, or we'll go for walks, or we bust out the cards, whatever. It
right.
doesn't matter. The point is that we're bonding.
Right. And the communication and the memories that are being made. These are the things you want, dear parents out there. You want to form those positive memories for your kids so that they might not be as likely to have to go back over all the hurtful things forever, over and over and over and over again in their lives.
Sure. When we want to raise healthy children, and so they need to connect with their family. If they're not connecting with you, they're connecting to someone else.
Right.
May not be the people you want your kids connecting
yeah.
with. So they want you first. And so just look for those opportunities. I mean, I know in our house, like, holidays are a great way to make special memories.
Right.
So we have special traditions set around every holiday that only happens around that one holiday.
Okay.
And so they're always looking forward to whatever it is. I mean, I still have 18-year-olds coloring Easter eggs because it's just something that they really have learned.
That's cool.
And we enjoy doing together. And
right.
It's silly, but it was a good bonding thing.
Absolutely. Children learn a lot by watching their parents, don't they, Dr. Angel?
They learn almost everything by watching their parents. And it's watching
how to behave, how not to behave.
How to handle conflict, how to handle stress, how to handle relationships.
Right.
Everything is learned by what we as parents, how we do it, not what we say.
Right.
How we do it.
And let's go back to that statistic you mentioned, I think probably both shows, the last two shows, about the 7%.
7% of communication is our word, and 93% of communication is our body language, our voice tone, inflection, all that other good paralanguage stuff. But with kids, even that, they're watching what we do. When we're upset with somebody, how do we handle that conflict?
Right.
When we're stressed, what are we doing? Are we, you know, what
are
we doing?
If we're mad at grandma or somebody, do we get on the phone and yell and scream to everybody in the family till we get our way or whatever? What happens there, you know?
Exactly.
They watch the parent and the parents, both of them. And yes. How they handle conflict, don't they?
And how they handle life, period.
Right.
That's where they learn how to treat other people, how to be giving, how to whatever, how to have relationships.
Exactly.
So we're modeling that all the time. That's an awesome responsibility.
It's an overwhelming responsibility.
So when we're allowing negative relationships in, or if we're allowing, say we're coming from, you know, domestic violence perspective, we're teaching our kids that's okay.
It's okay to be beat up over and over again and still, I love him, you know, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. And so we need to start thinking, what am I teaching my kids? What do I do?
Right. So parents are role modeling, aren't they? The behaviors of what they want their kids. So if you want your kids to grow up to be peaceful and loving and content and fulfilled, then start acting that way yourself, right?
Which is why we've talked about taking those steps back and looking inside of what's going on in me as the parent.
Right.
What's going on? What business do I need to take care of? Because everything I do is impacting my children.
And maybe the parent needs to go into some therapy and work those things out, right?
Oh, maybe. Maybe they just, some self-reflection and a mentor or a good friend can help them figure it out. Maybe they need professional help. No shame in any of it.
Right.
It's better to work on it and stop filtering it into our kids.
Because we are filtering it into our kids. Our hurts, our anger, our frustration is filtered right directly into our children. And they learn to behave the same way.
Absolutely. And if you watch, you know, the same-sex parent is the most predominant parent a child will watch.
Okay.
So if you have
your
daughters, they're watching
watch.
The moms. If you
okay.
have sons, they're watching dad. Most, they have the biggest impact.
Okay.
Doesn't mean the other parent's off the hook at all.
Right.
But it means that that's the one that has the most impact. So when there's conflict with that same-sex parent, it really impacts their life in a lot differently.
Okay.
But kids can learn. They can learn from the other parent. You know, that doesn't mean mom's off the hook because dad's absent. That means mom's really got double duty here.
Right. And so as parents, we got to learn to really model honesty and trustworthiness and a desire for a peaceful home instead of chaos. And I think, Doctor, so many people now are caught up with so much drama in their lives, and that's what they live and that's what they model to their kids. Don't you agree with that?
We need to start modeling what we want. We want our kids to tell the truth, and we don't need to be on the phone with the mortgage company making up some crazy story why we couldn't pay our mortgage this month when it really we didn't budget well, or telling them that our kid is really 10 to get the child's menu when they're 13.
Right.
Because
it's
we're just
right.
teaching them, oh, it's okay to lie when it works for you, because now they learn,
right.
oh, there's times it's okay
it's
to lie.
It's not okay.
And it's
yep.
not.
Yep.
So we definitely need to watch what we're modeling. So let's model traits we want to see. Respect. Friendliness, honesty, kindness, tolerance.
Absolutely.
Say thank you to your children.
Absolutely.
You know, we always teach the kids say please and thank you, but you know, as parents, how many of us do it?
Right.
We don't feel like we need to, but we need to the most.
Yes.
And so that's
yes.
what we need. They need to see.
Right.
We need to make communication a priority.
Ooh, that's so important.
It really
that's
is.
That's almost another bell ringer. But I think so often people say, well, I talk to my kids. I talk to them when we're driving down the road and we're going to business. What type of communication are you really talking
Whenever
about?
Whenever there's a need to be for communication, we need to make it a priority. Instead of, you know, talking from room to room or whatever.
Texting your kids constantly.
Yeah, let's make it a priority. Let's talk about it. And then that's important because that's that part of that bonding and that trust. And you're going to make me feel safe and secure when we can. I know we're communicating.
And last week you made a point that I thought was excellent, and that is eye contact. Value of eye contact. Do you want to make that point one more time?
Well, the value of eye contact is that, first of all, it builds that safety and security, and then it gives that serotonin burst in our brain, which is something that we need. When we're lacking that serotonin, depression kicks in really bad.
Right.
And so that's what our kids are needing. That's what we as humans need from each other. And so communication is really important. And as a parent, we can't wait for our kids to come to us.
Right.
We need to make that first step and go to them. We need to be the adult here.
Absolutely.
And take the responsibility.
Wow. And so make eye contact with your child. Say, I'd like to, let's go out in the backyard and sit down. I want to talk to you for a while and just see how you're doing or whatever. Just start the conversation, parents.
Absolutely. Get in their world. Get in their world.
Wow.
So that's important, though. We need to make communication a priority with our kids.
Okay.
And be flexible. Life is always changing. We can have structure.
Right.
We should.
Right.
But life needs to have some flexibility to it, too. So it needs to be a balance of some structure and being able to change with the flow when things change.
Right.
And
a lot of people are not good about that. They just really, I said it's going to be this way, and it's going to be this way, you know.
Absolutely, and we need to be flexible. That's life. That's a
right.
good quality to have in life. As adults, I need to be flexible all the time. Things can happen in the minute, and I need to be able to adapt. And so helping our kids to learn to adapt is important for them to have as adults, but it'll help them with success in relationships. And if they don't learn adaptation, they're going to learn stress and anxiety.
Right.
They're going to be very anxious adults.
Absolutely. Boy, these things are so important. Okay. And be aware of your limits as a parent. What do you mean by that, doctor? I mean, parents don't have it all together sometimes. And we should be the first to say, I really don't know what to do about that situation. Let me talk to your dad or let me think about that. Give me some time. I want to think about what's best. Give me some ideas.
Well, we all have limits. We're human, and it's okay.
Right.
And so we need to be aware, self-aware. For me, I was kind of this fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of girl in my own world, in my own life before I had kids. And so when I had kids, I really had to learn to do it different.
Okay.
Forced into learning to do it different because I had kids who had some needs that needed more structure than even probably the average kid at the time did. But that was okay. And that meant I had to write on calendars, set alarms, make things so I could keep that structure because that was important for them to have.
Right.
And so that was my weakness. I knew that. Now it's become a strength because I've just conditioned myself so long to do this. But in the beginning, it was very difficult.
Really?
And
that's
that was a weakness for me. I'm Italian, and by nature, we're expressive and loud. And
Woo!
Sometimes that can create...
Right.
The sense of maybe I'm yelling when I'm just passionate and not
right.
upset.
Right.
But I've had to learn to tone some of that down because I don't want that anxiety coming into the mm-hmm. kids or them misreading my communication.
Right. So important.
So those are some weaknesses that I had to bring to the table and self-check.
But here you are a few years later and you are acknowledging those and you're saying, I worked on these things. And parents, it's okay to learn to work on these things. And when you know you're getting out of control or you know you're raising your voice and screaming or you're being unreasonable... Stop, take a breath, talk to me, doctor. What should they do?
Absolutely. And just if you can acknowledge where your weakness is, you can accommodate for it. You can put checks and balances in. Have someone say, you know, use an accountability person. I've used calendars. I've used the calendar, you know, setting alarms on different things so I wouldn't forget what needed to be done when.
Right.
And that helped me gain that as a strength. And our weakness can become our strength if we work on it.
Absolutely. Oh, doctor, we have covered so much in these 3 weeks, and I think I'm just going to throw a couple concepts to you. We really made a big deal about providing a safe and as much as possible structured environment for our kids so they know what to expect, correct?
Absolutely. That's the heart of the matter, safety and security.
Safety and security. Communication. I hear that constantly from you. So important. Letting the kids be heard, right?
Absolutely.
And go ahead.
Demonstrating that unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
They need to know they're loved no matter what they do or don't do.
And consequences so that they learn that if you take this path, this might happen to you.
Absolutely. It's the cause and effect, and that's life.
Cause and effect. And don't be afraid to apologize to your kids for losing your temper or whatever. No. Keep open communication.
And we're role modeling constantly. So we're teaching our kids that we need to seek. Nobody's above seeking forgiveness.
Right. Positive parenting strategies. That's what we've been talking about. Don't belittle your kids. Instead, learn to communicate in a gentle, kind way. You want to be spoken to kindly. Let's speak kindly with our kids, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I think one thing I want to make sure I get out is, as a parent, we cannot give what we don't have emotionally,
okay,
psychologically, physically, or financially.
Right.
So it's okay to say no. It's okay to take parent time out. It's okay to fill up our buckets and have, you know, go get your nails done or go to the hair salon or whatever. Go to the beach by yourself. Whatever it is that fills you back up, because you're going to be a better parent for it in the end of the day.
Absolutely. Well, this has been three sessions of positive parenting. If you missed any of them, or if you want to hear these again, just go to the TanTalk1340.com website, go to podcasts, go to Go Yard. And then at the end of the month, which is next week, our webmaster will put them all on goyard2014.org, where you can hear all the ones from September. We want to hear from you. We want your input. And we're going to be doing a question and answer show again very soon. So send those questions in like you've been doing. And we'll get our resident expert, Dr. Falzoni, here to give us some great answers. So communicate with us by 727-888-4171. That's our Google text number, 24/7/365. Our email, goyard2014@gmail.com. And by all means, tune in again next week. And we are starting a new topic next Thursday night. And welcome every one of you from Starcom Media as you join us week after week at different times. We're just glad you're all with us. Dr. Angel.
Well, let's put this into practice and let's be more positive parenting.
All right. Dr. Angel Falzoni and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard, where it's better to hit a home run than to strike out over and over again. Let's learn to do that. See you next week, gang.
Good night.